Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Tonight we have an up-and-coming future Iditarod musher. Her name is Lacey Hart, calling in. Lacey, how's it going?
Oh, just fine. How are you today, Robert?
Fine, thank you. Where are you calling in from?
We are up by Talkeetna, Alaska.
Very cool. For folks that don't know where Talkeetna is, if you're listening outside of the Mat-Su Valley, it's about 100 miles or so from Anchorage, pretty much the gateway to Denali Park. Isn't that right?
Oh, yes.
So, Lacey, I've followed you for a little while on Facebook and on your website, and we're going to talk about that in a little while, but tell the folks who you are and what you're all about.
Oh, boy. Well, I am, let's see here, I'm 19 right now. I got started in dogs when I was 8 years old. My very first team, my very first experience with dogs, I got 17 dogs when I first jumped into it. Since then, I've been breeding, racing, training my dogs. My goal all along has been to run Iditarod, and now we are in Alaska, so I am closer than ever.
Definitely closer than ever, and congratulations on moving up and making that first step towards Iditarod. I know you're going to try to attempt to do all of your qualifiers this year, and I say try because who knows what we're going to have in the way of snow. It's pretty scarce right now, isn't it?
It is. You know, we got about 6 inches up here, so we're not doing too bad, but hoping to get out on sleds before too much longer.
I know. We're getting closer to December, and, you know, the Kinnick 200 and all those races that follow are coming up before we know it.
Oh, yes.
So you ran the Junior Iditarod in 2009, and in all of the musher interviews that we've had on since the start of our show during Iditarod this year, we haven't spoke about the Junior Iditarod at all. I know some of the famous names in Iditarod, Ramey Smith, Dallas Seavey, you know, those guys, and of course some gals as well, started there at the Junior Iditarod. If you could, Lacey, tell us about that race, maybe distance, maybe how it was for you as a teenager and that sort of thing.
All right. Well, Junior Iditarod is the way for kids 14 to 17 to get involved in Iditarod and more long-distance racing. It's usually 150 to 180 miles. I think here recently they've gotten their Iditarod qualifier status. But it's a really great race. It's a two-day race. The kids get to go out, let's see here, I think it's 85 miles the first day. Then you have a camp out, 12 hours with your dogs, and then you race back the next day. Just a really great way for teens to really get a feel for what the long-distance racing is going to be about, you know, while still racing against other teens. It's really a lot of fun.
And if I'm correct, kids as young as 15, or is it possibly 12 that can run this race?
14.
14. Okay.
Yeah, 14 to 17.
And 14 years old. Wow, those are some young kids out there on 180 some odd miles. How do the youngsters that young do with a distance race like that?
Well, they do actually very well. All of the kids I know who run that race, you know, they're all super focused young people. You know, a lot of them have grown up in the sport, some haven't, but they all train and race for years and years to get to that level. I know everyone has a really great time out there, but they all make it across the finish line just fine. They just have a lot of fun.
You know, my daughter, she hopes to do the Junior Iditarod next year. She's 15 now, and is going to take part in the Willow Junior 100 right here in our backyard. Excuse me, I'm battling a little bit of cough, so if I depart for a minute, that's what's going on. Were you prepared when you ran that race as a teenager in 2009, or did you get out there and say, whoa, you know, this is a big deal?
Well, I thought I was prepared when I got out there. You know, I did as much training as I possibly could from Montana. That's where we were living at the time. We really did not have great trails. I mean, my trail that I was training on with sled was 18 miles up and back. So, you know, I'd run it two or three times to try to get the miles in. But before I came up here to Alaska, my longest run was 50 miles at that point. So, you know, I got up here 2 weeks before the race. Had to do my best that I could. But, you know, we made it through. I definitely had quite the learning experience out there on the trail. It was a lot of fun. It really taught me a lot. And, you know, it got me to where I am now.
So you said you packed up the proverbial U-Haul and made the trek up north here this past year. What's the motivation other than mushing, if at all, to come up to Alaska?
The motivation was pretty much solely mushing. You know, I mean, we also wanted to change the scenery. You know, we've been living for, I guess, 11 years in Montana, ready to live somewhere else. But, you know, when we had to decide where to live, we chose Alaska because of the dog mushing. There's just so much better trails and much better racing up here. I'll be much better prepared running Iditarod living up here and training and racing than I would have been coming from anywhere in the lower 48. At least that's how I feel.
What do you do in the off season other than mushing? Or do you have a job or a student? What are you doing when you're not out there on those trails?
You know, I'm pretty much here taking care of the family farm. You know, we have quite the animal population around here, so I'm pretty much busy sun up to sundown, taking care of animals, taking care of dogs, that sort of thing.
How many dogs do you have?
Oh, boy. I have 25 sled dogs and quite a few labs.
Oh, wow. Wow. Do you do anything with the labs at all?
Yep. We hunt. We compete in some AKC events with them. We breed and raise and train and do all of that good stuff with them.
Very cool. Do you work with any service organizations at all?
I don't yet. Definitely something I'm interested in, but for right now, we pretty much just do, you know, the AKC events, agility, some obedience, that sort of thing.
Lacey Hart is our guest tonight on Mushing Radio. She hopes to run the Iditarod in 2014. The idea, of course, is to qualify during the 2012-2013 season. Lacey, what races are you signed up for now to qualify?
I am running the Knick 200, the Don Bowers 300, and the Northern Lights 300.
Sounds like the exact same races I'm running as well, so I hope to definitely see you out there on the trail. Anything in particular that sets you apart? You know, everybody has that particular thing, and you know, I bring up, you know, Sebastian Chenal and Hugh Neff with his Cat in the Hat. Anything that we can watch out for Lacey Hart?
You know, my biggest thing, what I hope sets me apart, is I'm really focused on trying to get young kids excited, hopefully about dog mushing, but really about following whatever their dream and goal is. So I do a lot of school talks. And so I know I have quite a few young kids that watch and follow me. And so mostly I just try to be a good role model and try to get kids interested, not necessarily, like I said, in dog mushing, but just in whatever their dreams are, trying to get them to pursue and follow those goals.
You know, that's so important. Today's kids, they're so wrapped up into Facebook and TV and video games and all that. They need to get out there and live, don't they?
Yes, yes. You know, there definitely is life beyond the computer screen. You know, I know from my experience, like I said, I got into dogs when I was just 8. So I know from my experience that young kids really can do some truly amazing things. Unfortunately, I think a lot of kids don't realize that. So I'm just, you know, hoping to show kids what they are capable of doing and help them along the way to their goals.
Well, I think you're doing an awesome job, and like I said, kudos to going out there and talking to those youngsters, because, you know, they need that. If they don't grow up in a situation or a lifestyle like you're talking about with the farm and all that, you know, a lot of them grow up and they don't even know how to work when they go off to college or get that first job. You know, they've been, you know, a little bit sheltered their entire lives, haven't they?
They certainly have. You know, one of the schools that I talked to down in Montana that really stands out was a school in a very low-income neighborhood. And the kids there, they were just the sweetest kids you've ever met, but they didn't feel that they could really do anything. I know one girl, her mom told me that her mom was too poor to work. So she just, you know, she didn't really have any goals for the rest of her life. You know, it was okay, get through school, finish high school, but then what? She had no ideas for the future.
Right, right. And that's so sad to hear stories like that. And, you know, people like you are such an inspiration. You're going out there, you're chasing those dreams. No matter what obstacles come up, you're ready to go out there and tackle them. And I think mushing really teaches the kids that sort of focus, that sort of desire, that sort of inspiration. Because when you're out there on those trails, there's not a lot out there for you to fall back on, is there?
Exactly. When you're out there, you are out there by yourself, just you and the dogs. That personally is my favorite thing about running. But, you know, you're definitely out there by yourself. If you get into trouble, you have to be able to figure out how to get yourself out of it. And as far as responsibility goes, you know, it even starts just back at the kennel, you know, taking care of the dogs. It doesn't matter if it's 80 degrees out or if it's 30 below. You still got to go out there and clean up and feed and water and all of that.
It's never a day off when you're a dog musher.
Certainly not.
So, Lacey, tell us a little bit about your dogs. Do you have any particular lines that you have prevalent? Do you breed your own dogs? What's in the dog lot there?
Well, yes, almost all of my dogs have been born right here at the property. You know, I was holding them from hour one. As for my bloodlines, most of my dogs go back very strongly to the old Gareth Wright lines, and I have quite a bit of Swingley in my kennel, too. I kind of like those, you know, those older bloodlines. But that's what's in most of my dogs. I enjoy breeding and raising and training myself. I personally feel that my dogs have a much better connection with me, just something that I've observed in you know, the 10, 11 years I've been doing this.
Doug Swingley, who is that? That's somebody that hails from your old neighborhood.
Oh, yes. I did a Iditarod champion from Montana. What was he, four-time champion? But, yep, came up from Montana, was very successful up here. As far as I know, he's not doing it anymore, but, you know, he certainly had and bred some good dogs while he was still doing it.
And that was early 2000s, late 90s, I believe. I don't know exactly the years that he was so prevalent here on the Iditarod Trail, but he really left an impression on the folks of up here in Alaska. And the main reason is he was one of those outside mushers that came up to Alaska and did very well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have not really gone back and quite looked at all the champions and where they're from, but I think he was one of the very first outsiders who started winning. Of course, then we had all the Robert Sorley and some of the other guys that started winning.
Right. So your dogs, most of them, you said, were born right there at your home. You know, a lot of folks have a lot of rescue dogs. You know, they get the cast-offs from one kennel or another, and a lot of times those dogs become very good dogs. They may not make the top Iditarod teams, you know, with Dallas or Dee Dee or Ramey or some of those guys, but they're still very good dogs. But there's something to be said in breeding your own. What do you look for in breeding your own dogs?
You know, I think it's just a matter of watching that dog perform on the line. You know, I like to look. I'm always looking for confirmation and what I think is going to be a good dog. But really, performance out there on the trail is what really matters to me. Then back in the dog lot, of course, I like a friendly dog, the nice, friendly, in-your-face one of play. They're always easier to handle than the kind of standoffish dogs. But I'm just looking for dogs that are going to be good, solid out there on the line, good, solid heads. And by that I mean, you know, dogs are always willing to go down the trail. They're always forward-oriented. But, you know, just pretty much observing what I've got going on the team, and from there I kind of decide what I'm going to do next.
That's a great way to look at it, because you just don't know. All of that training comes back to that. All of that racing comes back to that training, that preparation. Just a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to kind of an old school Iditarod guy. His name was Dave Shear, and he told us that one of the keys to racing is race like you trained, or train like you race. I think that's an important way of thinking, don't you?
That is so, so true. You know, one of the biggest pitfalls that I see young rookie mushers coming up doing is, you know, there, and I did it too. You know, you do something in training, you know, you're training like this, you're feeding this, and then you go to a race and you completely change everything. I know my very first race, the day before the race, I went out and bought this really great dog food and I fed it at the race, and oh my goodness, my dogs had upset tummies, and of course it really did them no good. But you know, that's what I thought I needed, of course, but you know, that's not the way I trained. Looking back, I really would have been a lot better off if I just did everything in the race like I had done in training.
Totally agree, and exactly the right way to think about that. And for those rookie mushers out there, definitely take that as a very strong piece of advice. Don't go out there and buy the fancy stuff just so your dog food looks like everybody else's out there on the race trail, because I tell you, it will come to backfire about 100 miles into that race.
Sometimes quite literally, yes.
Quite literally, yes. So, Lacey, I know that you're racing in a pretty interesting race with a good friend of yours coming up. I believe it's in early February, the Denali Doubles. We haven't spoke about that at all. Can you tell us about that race?
Sure. That's my one and only non-qualifier race I'm running this year. Denali Doubles, it's pretty fun. It's, you know, what is it, 200, 250 miles. But it's, you know, right up the Denali Highway there. It's a lot of fun because you get to have another musher with you. You're racing together, working together. You know, I know for some that might not be such a good thing, but Meredith Mapes and I, we really get along really great. She's a great person. She's another musher that's been doing this ever since she was a little girl. We're going to have a lot of fun out there on that race.
And, you know, it's a very interesting format because you guys are literally running the race together. How is that set up?
Well, for us, she is going to have a tag sled attached to mine, and she's going to be about 10 feet behind me the whole way down the trail.
And do you guys, pardon me if I don't know the rules exactly, but can you guys switch back and forth between who is the quote-unquote lead musher?
Well, there is only a musher number one. As far as I know, you could probably switch back and forth as far as sleds go, but we're going to be running my dogs, so I will be on the first sled just because my dogs are used to me, and so I think that's going to work best.
And unlike other races where you can't get any outside help whatsoever, can Meredith share in the checkpoint duties and the feeding and dog care, et cetera?
Yes, she can, and I fully expect her to, and I know that she is fully willing to help, and she's going to be a great help for me out there on the trail.
Very cool. Do you know the dates for that race?
Oh, goodness gracious.
I believe it's the first weekend in February, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. I have so many other race dates and preparations going through my head. You asked me that too quickly. I don't have it right on the tip of my tongue here.
We'll find out, and we'll put it on the show page for sure. Meredith, what else goes on in the off season? I'm looking at your Facebook page, and it sounds like you're pretty busy with some of the other things that you do, in particular scuba and kayak. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, I have been a certified scuba diver for 6-7 years now. You know, I always have a lot of fun. Anytime we get to go on vacation, which is not very often, but anytime we do, we always pick somewhere with nice warm water so we can go scuba dive. As far as kayaking goes, you know, I'm definitely not a white water kayaker, but I enjoy just going out and paddling on the lakes and getting to go explore those coves you can't reach by any other means. Just a lot of fun, some of those things I do in the summer whenever I get some time.
Have you had a chance to do any scuba diving up here in Alaska?
I've not, and I'm not sure I'm going to. The water up here is awfully darn cold. I'm definitely a warm water kind of person.
You definitely need a dry suit, even in the middle of July, I think.
Yes, yes. You know, I was out running dogs here, I guess, about a month ago, and we had a little swimming adventure. So I definitely think I'm cured of wanting to do any diving up here.
But like you said, kayaking is very prevalent up here, especially with the very long sea kayak type kayaks, a little bit different than you would see on the whitewater ones that a lot of folks are used to, the short sport or you know, the, what do they call that, the rodeo kayaks,
yep.
You know, that do all the tricks and stuff.
Definitely. Well, you know, I mean, kayaking started here in Alaska with the natives, so there's no reason that it should not be pretty prevalent up here.
Very cool. So, Lacey, talking to Lacey Hart this evening on Mushing Radio, let's talk about, you know, you've had a long history in the sport. You said you've been doing this since you were a little girl, and here you are attempting the big race. And a lot of folks have that same desire and the same dream. You know, you're about a year, year and a half out now. Besides the qualifying races that you mentioned, you talked about doing the Kinnick 200 and the Don Bowers and the Northern Lights. What are some other things you're doing in preparation for? Do you have a mentor that you're speaking with or working with or anything of that nature?
You know, not really. I have pretty much taught myself everything I know about mushing. There in Montana, I had Rob Greger. He's a past Iditarod musher. He really helped me out with a lot of the dog care. But as far as training and all of that, I've pretty much taught myself everything I know. I have some friends I've made up here, and I certainly will be talking with and working with them. But for the most part, my training and my racing is all my own. It's, once again, just comes back to just observing the dogs. I make changes as I think I need to. And if I have any problems, then I go to those friends of mine and say, hey, I'm seeing this. What do you think I can do?
What changes have you made in terms of switching over from pretty much the warm air, at least from my understanding of Montana, to the frigid temperatures of the northern Mat-Su Valley here?
Well, I've gotten used to wearing a lot more clothes.
Yes.
You know, it's not been such a big deal for the dogs. You know, I certainly thought about that when we came up here. But the dogs have taken it pretty good. Where we were in Montana, we had just horrible, horrible wind. You know, 80-mile-an-hour gusts every day of the week was really not that uncommon. So the dogs are really enjoying the lack of wind where we're at up here. So I think that was actually the biggest change, and in that case, it became easier moving up here. Other than that, you know, for me, I just got to get used to, you know, when I go out on a run, it's probably going to be in minus temperatures quite a bit of the time. In Montana, when I was out training on the four-wheeler, I was usually in 25 and 30-degree weather. This morning, I went out on a training run, and it was 15 below when I left. So, you know, you just got to kind of get used to it and figure out what you got to do differently and adapt.
And that's so true. What are you guys up to in terms of training right now, in terms of miles or time?
Right now, we are doing, let's see here, I'm doing about 18s right now. And on Friday, I'm taking tomorrow off for Thanksgiving, but on Friday, I'm planning on doing an 18 in the morning, giving the dogs a couple hours, and then doing another with them. Just working the miles up. As soon as we can get on sleds, we're going to really be able to go. We're kind of limited as to how far we can go with the four-wheeler right now.
And you say 18s on and then 18s off on Friday, you hope to do that. Can you tell our more novice mushers why somebody would do that versus, you know, coming in, giving them until the next day off, et cetera?
Sure. In my case, it's, well, not only because the trails are the way they are, but the format of racing I'm doing with the long distance, I'm trying to get the dogs used to going out on the trail, coming in, getting to rest for a little bit, and then going out and doing it again. You know, they really don't benefit. Well, I guess they do, but they don't really get that kind of mentality in their head if you just take them out for a run and come in and give them until tomorrow off. They don't learn to get up and go do it again like they need to if you're doing distance racing.
And the Kinnick 200 is your first race. That's the first weekend of January. What do you hope to be in terms of training at that point? Again, hoping that the snow works out for us.
If everything goes according to plan, I hope to be up to 90 to 100 miles a day.
Awesome. And again, for our more novice mushers down there, that, you know, they're sitting there in their homes right now listening, and they have four or five dogs in the yard there, and they're thinking, wow, 90 to 100 miles. Tell us a little bit about that. How long does that take the average musher, and what happens during those long runs?
Well, for one thing, you know, I said I'm running 18s right now. Those are four-wheeler miles. I usually figure that they're worth about, you know, every one four-wheeler mile is worth about two sled miles. So when we switch over to sled, we might go straight to making 60 or 70-mile runs. As far as how long it's going to take, personally, I want my dogs to average about 10 miles an hour. So that 100 miles is going to be about a 10-hour run out there on the trail for me. You know, I'll probably do those 10 hours just about straight. There'll be times when I'll break it up into 50s and give them a little bit of break in the middle. But for the most part, we're just getting them used to putting in the hours out there on the trail.
And do you have any special checkpoint routine, anything that you do that's, you know, that may be a little different from other folks?
I don't think I'm that much different. You know, I always put coats and leg wraps on anytime I'm going to be stopping for any long period of time. That's just a personal preference type thing. Other than that, you know, I hope I'm fairly, you know, common and standard.
It sounds like it to me. And again, I don't have a tremendous amount of long distance mushing experience, but talking to all the other guys on the shows here over the last few months sounds very, very similar to what they're doing. You know, Lacey, talking to Lacey Hart again on Mushing Radio, my last question for you, and it's the question I ask everybody that's on the show, is if you can give one piece of advice to those guys that are either thinking about coming up and doing what you're doing and running Iditarod in a couple of years, or those guys that just run those recreational teams right out of their backyard, what's one thing that you could tell those folks that may be able to help them out?
I don't know how big of a help it's going to be for them as far as training, but I would say follow your dreams. You know, if you have a goal to run Iditarod or even to run that little 20-mile race in your neighborhood, don't be afraid to do it. Get out there, train the dogs, and just go do it.
Very cool. Very cool. Lacey, how can folks get in touch with you? I know you're very active on Facebook, post a lot of cool pictures of you and your family and dogs out there training. And, you know, like you said, I saw that picture of you. Was that your mom in the overflowing creek?
Yep, that was us. The leaders went off the trail, decided to go for a swim, had to go rescue them.
So definitely very active on Facebook. How else can people get in contact with you?
Well, certainly I welcome everyone to friend me on Facebook. Other than that, we are on Twitter, and you can always find out all of the goodie social networking and just contact us directly through the website. That is LaceyHartRacing.com, and Lacey has an E in it.
Lacey has an E. You know what? I had it wrong there, so I definitely got to fix that before I post the page. Anybody you want to thank, any sponsors or anybody that's in your corner?
Oh, certainly. I have to thank my parents. And my grandparents, they've all been very, very supportive. I have to thank everyone who has helped me to get to this point. And one sponsor I really got a shout out to is Becky Loveless at Alpine Outfitters. She's always a great woman. And all of my fans, especially the Dogs Love to Run folks, just thanks to everyone who's following, and hope you keep following.
Very cool. Lacey Hart, pay attention to her. She's going to be a force out there, especially on these qualifying races. Sounds to me like that you're going to have a good season. I hope so.
I hope so too, Robert.
Sounds good. I look forward to seeing you on the trail and meeting you in person, okay?
We'll see you there.
Sounds good. Lacey Hart, we'll make sure that we post links to her websites and all as soon as we get the show page up. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.